You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of Ravens Weekly, this time recorded on a Thursday, which is unusual because, of course, ahead of us we've got Good Friday and the Easter weekend. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined by Josh Tindall. Josh, welcome back. How are you doing?
Very, very well.
Good to see you as always. Josh, plenty coming up on the podcast today and plenty of exciting things going on at Hayes Lane today and throughout the Easter period as well. Let's start with the under-23s, actually, and they beat Hartley-Wintney. Got memories of playing them a few years back with the first team away. 3-2, which was similar to the Maidstone game for the first team. Last-minute winner, Josh. They're doing really well at the moment, the under-23s.
Yeah, they are. They won 3-2, like you said. They were 1-0 up through an own goal and then found themselves 2-1 down. But Callum Corbin made it 2-2 before Bobby Unwin, who always scores.
He's been in great form, hasn't he?
He always scores. Every single game, it's just Bobby scored again. But yeah, he scored the last minute winner and yeah, brilliant. I think the title is well out of reach now. I think Aldershot have definitely nailed on to win it, but it's a good season.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Bromley currently sat in second place and very best of luck to them for the rest of the season. Like you say, Aldershot having a fantastic season in the Suburban League. And although they play two games more, they are a considerable amount of points ahead. And like you say, it looks like they're going to wrap it up fairly soon. But you just never know in football. You never know what can happen. So as Andy Woodman would say, I'm sure the message is just focus on our own business and win the games and beat the teams that are put in front of us. Moving on then to the following day, which was Saturday. What a day it was, Josh. We enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it?
All right. I think that is up there with our best performances of the season. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was unreal. It was unreal. Considering going into it, we were a bit like, could go either way. We were a bit nervy, but we absolutely dominated.
We did, didn't we? And it was kind of similar to that Yeovil performance the week before. And of course, we covered that on the podcast last week. But the problem with that game was we didn't take the chances that we had. However, on this occasion, we very much did. Michael Cheek scored a penalty brace. Corey Whiteley added another in the first half. And then Harry Forster put the icing on the cake, if you like, with a brilliant solo effort around 4 minutes before the end of the game. And 4-0, Josh, I think was a fair reflection. It could actually have been more.
Yeah, I think Solihull sort of lost their heads in the first couple of minutes. I know the referee was booking a lot of players.
Very card happy, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. But yeah, after that, we just capitalised on it and yeah, definitely deserved the 4-0 win.
Well, of course, Solihull did have a player sent off in the second half for Junior Tiencia, given a second yellow card. And previously, Bromley have struggled against 10 men. This time, yeah. Quite different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really, really good to see. Anyway, on that performance, I just wanted to say, because I have to pull things like this out, sorry. I remember a Saturday afternoon at Solihull in the winter, pouring down with rain a few years back. We lost 5-0. I'm pretty sure we were 4-0 down at half-time. I'm pretty sure we had a player sent off, or they definitely had a player sent off at the end. 4-0 down at half-time, and I was the only media person in attendance that day. I was doing the commentary, the Twitter, the match report, all on my own. And I think I said on the commentary, I just want to go home. That performance last week is retribution for that day. I had to wait a few years, but what a pleasure it was to watch that performance last week. And great to see Cheek on the score sheet once again. And Harry Forster with his first Hayes Lane goal in a couple of years. And of course, Corey Whiteley's been performing really well recently. And he got the goal that he deserved. Another player that performed really well, Josh, was Topolodge.
Big Bez.
He did, didn't he? And actually, this time, there were two men of the match.
They were.
Have you ever seen that before?
I'm not going to lie. On social media, I said that it went to Michael Cheek because that was the picture that I was sent over. But yeah, I wasn't aware that Bez was also presented with it as well. So fair play to them.
Well, we had a match sponsor, obviously, Abode Resourcing. Thank you to them for their support. And we also had Ryan Lee on his stag do.
Yeah, who walked out.
He walked out the match ball. It never gets old seeing things like that. You've seen it away grounds. I think that's the first time I've seen it at Hayes Lane.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't know that was happening. So when I was sat in the press box, I nudged Daniel, who was next to me, and I was like, he looks like Michael Cheek. Why is Michael Cheek wearing
in full shirt? Kit, wasn't he?
Yeah. I only saw the back of his head, so...
No, it was fantastic. And actually, they chose Bez as their man of the match, and the sponsor chose the man of the match, the official man of the match as well. But I thought Bez was fantastic, and both players equally deserving. Actually, you look at that team on that day, you'd be hard-pressed to pick a man of the match. They were all fantastic, weren't they?
I would have picked everyone.
Josh, you can't do that. That's a cop-out.
Even the unused subs.
Everyone's played their part. Jude, yeah. Everyone's played their part. Reece Charles-Cook, of course, made two good saves during that game, but otherwise didn't have a lot to do. But it's those little moments. If that first one goes in, it's a different game, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they had a couple of chances, and I know I think it was a corner that fell to Callum Howe when he struck it from close range, and Cookie made a really good save. But they didn't really look that threatening, to be honest. I know they've lost... Andy Dallas, haven't they, to
Chesterfield.
And I think that's hit him a little bit. But Josh Kelly's a good player, but he, he just didn't really do much.
Kept him quiet, the defence, didn't they? A big shout out to every single player who played a minute or 90 minutes in that game. They were all outstanding. And it puts us in good stead for an important few fixtures coming up, which we'll touch on a little bit more in a moment. But great to see Topolodge and Cheek make the Vanarama Team of the Week. And it's not often you have two players in there, is it? But brilliant to see.
Yeah, I know Bez got it last week with his performance at Yeovil. Obviously, only 45 minutes worth, but he was in there again. And yeah, usually we just have the one. I know Omar's been in a couple of times, but yeah, we usually just have the one playing. I know it was FA Trophy weekend as well, but yeah, good to see two of them.
Well, moving on, but still talking on Team of the Weeks, Sam German made the Kent Online Team of the Week after helping Ashford United to a clean sheet and got an assist. He's going down really well there, having joined them on dual registration.
Yeah, he's a really good player. I've seen him a couple of times for the 23s and really good. I know we've just lost Frankie Vid to Millwall, and Sam's a similar sort of player, and I know that we're all sat there watching the games thinking... Like Sam will be another one as well that will be watched by those higher up. And yeah, very good player. I know he's trained with the first team a couple of times as well. And yeah, very highly rated here.
Brilliant to see. And he did, of course, make a few pre-season appearances in the first team and really didn't look out of place. So a bright future ahead for Sam German for sure, as there is for a lot of the young players in this team. And we talk about it week on week. Moving on then. From young to not so young, we had the Ravens chat party on Saturday night after that Solihull game. And I was delighted to be invited as the founder of Ravens chat to that evening. And it was lovely to see everyone and really just look at the impact.
Did they give you a guard of honour as you walked
in? I did get a little wahey when I walked in, but I didn't get a guard of honour. I'm not quite at that level, unfortunately. Maybe one day, but if not, I'll take my little... hi, how you doing? And little smile as I walk in and, hey, that'll do me. It's not about me. It's about everyone else. In all seriousness, it is. This is what the Community Trust does. And it was great to see them all get together off their own backs, by the way. This is not something that we organised. They did this as a social event, as so many of them have become such close friends that they like to meet up outside of Bromley Football Club and outside the walls and terraces of Hayes Lane. And it was wonderful to see everybody come down. We were delighted to have Christine Atkinson and some of the members of Rotary Clubs in Bromley, who, of course, supporting the project. And it was just wonderful all round. But that wasn't the only thing going on Saturday night.
Nope.
We had the Broomfield year anniversary.
DJ Tombo.
DJ Tombo in the house.
Yeah.
Right? Can you believe it has been a year of Broomfield?
No, I can't.
Do you remember that first day, the York City semi-final?
Well, didn't we have open season ticket holders and sponsors as well, I think, earlier on that week. I think that was the official opening. And then, to the general public and obviously beating York as well, it was a great day.
Well, what a fantastic year it's been for Broomfield. You know, to have a bar and kitchen facility like that in the National League is just ridiculous, really. It's this incredible facility, and we're very, very lucky to have it. So, yeah, there was a little party going on in there with DJ Tombo on the decks. Some of the music was outstanding, as per.
It was pumping.
The music was pumping. Can you keep that in?
Should we just carry on?
Let's carry on. But yeah, in all seriousness, great to see people stay on and enjoy that. All helps having it after a 4-0 victory. But it was brilliant celebratory atmosphere anyway. And yeah, well done to the team at Broomfields on a fantastic year of Broomfields Bar and Kitchen. Next up, speaking of Ravens chat that we alluded to a moment ago, it's Roy Remembers. Roy, welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Looking forward to the trip to Barnet tomorrow. Obviously, 3 wins in a week it was, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's brilliant. So let's hope we can carry on the good work for at Barnet away on tomorrow and against Boreham on Monday.
Big games coming up, aren't they? Particularly with, you know, 3 of these sides in and around the playoff positions.
Yeah. I mean, the Barnet and Boreham are both just above us. So that makes it a bit more tasty, you know, that they want to go and win. But I always think that we're good on the aways. I think we're very good. And the last few games at home, we've stepped up a bit and started off on that front foot.
Absolutely. Just talking of that, what were your thoughts on the Solihull game? The most, probably one of the best performances of this season and the biggest home win of the season.
Yes. We played very, very well. Some of the link-up play was excellent. And I was so pleased to see Harry Forster get that nice fourth goal there. And it just proves what he can do. And Corey's goal was a good goal. Cheeky does the business from the penalty spot, as usual. So a very good win overall. Because Solihull, as Andy said, then they're a good side. They're not a bad side. So you've got to step up to the plate when you're playing good sides.
And we certainly did.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you're here for Roy Remembers, which is our new podcast segment. What delights have you got for us this week?
It's called the Flying Kickoff.
Oh, this is a new one for me too.
Yeah. So, do you want me to go?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, after the war, because of the reunification of Europe after the war, Europe being a lot devastated, we played a lot of games in Holland. And I'll give you some of the games what we played. Flushing, Arnhem, Goes, Leiden, Enschede, Hermes and Nijmegen. Plus Bergen op Zoom, who I'm going to be talking about.
Wow.
And they're all in Holland. And generally what would happen is when Bromley played over there, all the people of the town would put the players up and the officials up and probably some supporters up and look after them. So when they came to Bromley, the Bromley residents would do the same. Look after them, you know, feed them and water them. Obviously, there'd be civic receptions, which is usually the case as well. Civic receptions, you know, the mayor of Bromley meeting the officials of Flushing or whoever we played. I mean, we played Flushing from the end of the war right up to the middle 60s. It was called the Flushing Cup. I think it's about 44 times we played them overall, home and away.
Wow. Incredible.
Tony Lettinson, who used to be handy, apparently did write to them, but they were not interested.
Oh.
Whether that was the case or not, I don't know. But it would certainly be nice to get some links going with some of these teams from Holland we played. And we played them sort of home and away.
Wow.
So I don't think we played Goes. We didn't play Goes at home or Leiden, but we did play the others.
It's incredible.
Arnhem and Enschede.
Wow.
Bergen op Zoom were going to come to Bromley, but they didn't in the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is the Flying Kickoff?
Well, this happened in 1958. We went to a team called Bergen hyphen op hyphen Zoom. And the way they started the match is with a light aircraft going across the pitch, dropping the ball out, which lands about I think it was 3 yards from the penalty spot to start the game. It should be in the Guinness Book of Records.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they have nowadays they have the remote control cars that drive the ball onto the pitch. Well, yeah. I think this trumps that, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, yeah. You can read all about it. It's all about the flashing game, and then on the second page, it's got the headlines is red carpet and the flying kickoff.
Blimey. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never knew anything like that ever happened.
Yeah, it was a light aircraft, an Oster, what they call an Oster.
And did it drop the ball accurately?
No. About 3 yards from the kickoff.
I was going to say, they might have had to practice that a few times, do a few dry runs.
Definitely, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Can you imagine that happening at Hayes Lane nowadays?
No, you can't, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where's health and safety?
I know. I mean, in the war years, there were 3 sports played on Bromley's football ground. Can you name them?
Can I?
Name the 3 sports that were played at Bromley football
ground. Football?
No.
No?
Yeah, they play football, yes.
Oh, 3 more sports?
Yes.
Cricket?
No.
Rugby?
No.
Tennis?
No.
Go on, put me out of my misery.
Athletics. Because you've got to imagine that most of the terracing wasn't there.
Yes, true.
In the war years. The second one was a boxing tournament.
Wow.
They erected in the middle of the pitch a boxing arena. And the third one, you probably never hear of, I guess. It was American baseball.
Wow.
The reason being because when they were getting ready for the... D-Day, you had a lot of Americans down south getting ready for it, you know, so they played American baseball.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What you learn in 10, 15 minutes with Roy is incredible.
Yeah.
Anything else on this week's Roy Remembers?
Yeah, and of course they had a civic reception there where they were welcomed by the mayor and a lot of other dignitaries and all that. Every one of these trips, you always have things going on and the players were taken to a different event and all that. And then they went on to Flushing and Bergen, we won 2-1 there at Bergen. And then at Flushing, we won, it was 1-1. And that was after extra time. It doesn't say if we won it at the end, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does anyone know that information, I wonder?
Yeah, I'll find it out.
I'm sure you will. I was going to say, you'll come back next week and you'll tell us the answer to that.
Yeah, yeah.
What you've also got here with you, Roy, is one of our trusty centenary books.
Yes, yeah.
And, well, I've had a read through and there's a lot of incredible information in there. It's a brilliant book, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, this book could have been probably 3 times the size of this. The information what we had... But it was obviously the cost. I mean, it hadn't been for John Self and John Farini, who mainly backed it with the finance, it would never have got done. And of course, you had Mira Russell, who was the town historian. So she's a good writer. So it's a mixture about things in the town at the time, and mostly about Bromley Football Club, obviously.
And there are a number of those available in the club shop. If anyone wants to come down and learn a bit more about the history of the football club, they are available and it's well worth a read.
It is absolutely, brilliant, yeah. I mean, it's so much... I mean, a lot of these early team pictures, I put some of them into there. I've got them and other bits and pieces like annual general meeting. It's a real piece from the paper that isn't a photocopy.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd know.
All different things like that. So lots of stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. Like I say, available in the club shop if you want to come down and learn a bit more about the history of the club.
Yeah.
Roy,
always
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And you'll be back, as you are every week now, next week.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
Roy Remembers is becoming one of my favourite parts of this podcast. I absolutely love it, and it's great to have Roy on again. Thank you so much for your time, Roy. It's very much appreciated. Now, moving on to a big event here at Hayes Lane earlier today was the Bromley FC Corporate Tournament, where a number of local club partners, sponsors and other organisations came together to take part in a tournament on the stadium pitch with pride and plenty of prizes at stake. And it was all in aid of the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust, and we are very, very grateful for that level of fantastic support. We caught up with a number of the teams entering, and also Joint Head of Partnerships Mick Livesey and Commercial Assistant Max Mooner, who of course coordinated the tournament and invited all of these local organisations down. It was a pleasure to be involved with it and watch it. And here is what everybody had to say. Rayhan from Haynes Watts, welcome. You're at the Bromley Football Club Corporate Tournament today. Just first and foremost, how has today been as an introduction to the club for you and your colleagues?
It's been great. It's our first time down here. Really well organised. We've played against a great bunch of players. Really friendly, amazing staff. It's been a good experience so far. Hopefully we can keep going.
And you say it's the first time you've been down here. What's your thoughts on the stadium and the facilities that you've seen around the place?
It's been good. Clean. There's a very good family atmosphere around. As you can see, all the kids in the stadium having a good cheer along. And yeah, it's been good. Like I said, again, it's really well organised. We have access to the changing rooms, which I also found good. Yeah, we'll definitely make it a routine coming again.
And how's the football element gone for you? How are the team doing?
Yeah, we got off to a good start. Won our three games in the group, so we're through as group winners and see how we go in the quarterfinals.
Well, congratulations and best of luck for the quarters.
Thank you very much.
Peter, Anita from Judge and Priestley, welcome. Peter, let's start with you. You're at the Bromley Football Club Corporate Cup today. How's it been for you so far?
It's a fantastic event. I think it's a brilliant event. It gets everybody here taking part in the community. Bit unlucky in our first game, but we've been here before, made it to a semi-final. So I think the chaps are optimistic about our chances again in the next few games.
So that's got to be the aim then, to achieve or beat that.
Yes, definitely. We hope so. So maybe with a little bit of luck. Hopefully Lady Luck's on our side, but we hope maybe we can go one further this time.
Anita, just coming over to you.
Hello.
It's all in aid of the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust, and it's brilliant to see so many of the club partners playing a part in that.
Yes, no, absolutely. And obviously, you know, Judge and Priestley, we are based in Bromley. We're a local firm and we like to support, you know, local community trusts like Bromley FC. And we love what Bromley FC are doing in the community.
I was just going to say, you've been a club partner for quite a few years now, and it's come a long way, the partnership, hasn't it?
It certainly has, yeah. We've sponsored Bromley FC for a number of years now, and we've seen the club, you know, develop and expand, you know, with so much investment, and it's just an amazing club, and it's just amazing to be part of this. And you know, I think the whole firm are just buzzing about, you know, the whole match today, the corporate match, and we've got a fantastic team here today. So yeah, as Peter said, we're hoping to really reach, you know,
to beat last time's achievement.
To beat last time's achievement, yeah.
Were you not tempted to play today then?
Absolutely not. No, I can't play football. But who knows, maybe next year. You never know.
Well, both of you, thank you so much for your support today, and very best of luck for the remaining games.
Thank you.
It's brilliant. I mean, it's really good that the community has bought into this. And the community, when I say that, of the companies in the community and the people that support our football club, this is our little way of sort of having a bit of banter with them and enjoying their day, you know, because it's big for them to play on the pitch. And look, the turnout's been brilliant. So, I think New Era have got a few ringers in their team. They'll be the team to look out for, I think. But, really good day, and we enjoyed it last year. And you know, it's a good turnout, so fantastic for all the companies that support us.
Eric from A-Plan Insurance, you're here at the Bromley Football Club Corporate Tournament this afternoon. How's it been so far?
Yeah, brilliant. My knees aren't holding up as well, but yeah, it's a great day. Weather's held out, it's really good.
It's really good to see, isn't it, a number of club partners come together for something like this.
Yeah, loads of local businesses, yeah, everyone's enjoying the day. Yeah.
How's the team doing so far?
Next question. I think we played two, lost two. We've got a few old boys, so yeah, not so good.
Plenty of time left to go,
yeah,
though.
Absolutely.
That's the beauty of football. And the weather's held out as well, can't ask for too much.
No, exactly, yeah, lovely day. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to continue.
Eric, thank you.
No worries, thank you.
Joel, thanks so much for joining us today here at the Bromley Football Club Corporate Cup. How's it been for you today?
Honestly, great vibes. I didn't know what to expect coming here. But I'm not even just saying it, but I'm really thankful for Bromley putting in such a great day. It's great with me and my colleagues. We're having a great time. Obviously, we're winning. We're doing a great job. We're into the semis as it stands. But, yeah, we've come with our cameramen. We're here trying to contribute with your content. And everyone's been nice. The partnerships manager, you know, the chairman. Honestly, I'm loving it. If you do more, I want to come back.
That's brilliant to see. So football-wise, it's going successfully for you guys so far today.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, I've never actually played with my guys at New Era Global. And to be honest with you, we've got some ballers. They're not just good agents and stuff like that. They're actually really good footballers. So, yeah, it makes it better, innit? It's all about winning. I don't care what anyone says. But, yeah, we're playing well.
And have you been down here to Bromley before, Joel?
I have in my semi-pro days, but to be honest with you, I don't think it's always been 4G though. That's the thing, and I love 4G pitches. The knees in it, like I got a little knee strap over here. It doesn't get easy, but I think with this surface, it allows us to play better. So I'm surprised that the league allows you to play on these. Is that going
to
be a new thing?
If we go up, we have to pull it up.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But it's great for things like this, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome. You know, it's near the end of the season. You know, it's good to be nice with your partners, your colleagues, and just the community. There's loads of kids here as well because it's Easter holidays. I am loving it, Bromley. I'm loving it.
I was just going to say, the atmosphere's been really good. You mentioned the kids in the stand cheering all the players on and the teams as well. It's been great so far.
Listen, honestly, very organised. The referees are okay as well. Sometimes the problem is the referees, the standards are a bit but Bromley FC, you guys have used some of your coaches, I presume, and they're all right, to be fair, they're all right. One of your coaches didn't want to give us a ball to warm up with, and I said, listen, I'm part of New Era Global. He goes, why didn't you say? And then, so there's obviously a good relationship with us and Bromley, so that's wicked.
Well, absolutely, Joel, we wish you the best of luck in the rest of the matches. I'm sure it's going to be a successful day for you.
Thank you, man. Listen, where can I catch this? Because I want to play it back and I want to share it on my stories. I want you guys to come to our platform, 5, and yeah, where can I find this?
You can find this on YouTube, Bromley FC, on Twitter, Facebook, Bromley FC. It's going to be everywhere. Look, if you can share it, that would be great.
Bromley FC, you guys are doing the whole...
That's it. That's it.
Listen, a club going forward. Love it.
Mick and Max from the commercial team here at Bromley Football Club. We've hosted the Bromley Football Club Corporate Cup today. Mick, so far, how's it been?
Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic. See all the businesses coming together, talking to each other and being part of the community. It's pretty much part of the bigger picture. Every football club, you've got to be a 364-day business. It's got to be a lot more than just the football on match days. And this is a testament to that. There's been a lot of work going involved by the entire football club. And this is we're getting the rewards today. What a great day, what a great tournament.
And Max, you've been walking around having a chat to people. It's very clear that they're all enjoying themselves out there despite the changeable weather this afternoon.
I know, it's been fantastic, honestly, Matt. It's, we couldn't have expected to have a better day if we tried. I thought, apart from the weather, it's been really good. So hopefully, you know, this is a growing event and we can continue to attract more businesses down.
And to be fair, there are some good players out there, aren't there? We've got a couple of ex-professionals there too.
We do. We do have a few ex-professionals in New Era side, signing free side as well, and looking very big.
And Mick, it goes back to that word that you said at the start of this interview, community. This is in support of the community trust, and everybody here has really bought into the Bromley community in general.
Definitely. I'm a great believer, and I think every one of us at this football club, which Team Bromley, that we don't just judge our results at 10-5 on a Saturday. We judge our results on the impact we have on our community. How do we benefit those less fortunate than ourselves? What do we do to make an impact? And it's great to see Bromley Football Club is a massive positive community hub, and it's a beacon of positivity and something that the entire community can all be incredibly proud of.
Well, both of you, amazing effort getting this all organised, and it's all going swimmingly so far, and I'm sure we'll see our winners announced very soon. Thank you.
It wouldn't be an episode of Ravens Weekly without hearing from manager Andy Woodman. He wasn't in the studio for this one. Whilst we were outside catching up with everybody from the corporate tournament, we managed to catch up with Andy outside, didn't we? As he was enjoying some of the football that was going on out there and having a chat to all the club partners, which was really, really nice to see himself, Steve Harris and Alan Dunn all out there representing the management team. And here's our catch up with Andy.
Andy, bit of an unusual interview backdrop, but we'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's start off by looking back at the week just gone. The win against Solihull on Saturday, capping off a brilliant 7 days for the side and 9 points.
Yeah, it's been a good good week, and we finished the week with a very good performance. You know, one or two people said Solihull weren't great on the day, but I thought we was excellent. So didn't really listen to too much of that. I thought we really sort of executed the game plan, and we played some really good, you know, good football with you know, some really big moments in there. I felt, without being disrespectful to Solihull, I felt it could have been more, to be honest. But yeah, it was a good week and a good, good sort of like 3 points to add to the other two games.
And looking at the Maidstone and the Solihull games, the winning mentality very much the same, but the actual type of win was quite different.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it all along, we've got a group of players that just, you know, give it their all every time they play. And it'll be like that, you know. We won't have a game at Barnet that'll be the same as Solihull, I can assure you. But we just got to, you know, without getting cliche-ish at this stage of the season, we just got to take care of our business and just roll into the next game and try pick up what we can from the next game and see where it leaves us at the end.
Ryan Sturck has been here for 2 months now and he's won the Player of the Month award from the fans twice. Just how good has he been and how's it been working with him?
Ryan's a great professional. You know, I was chuffed to get Ryan. I don't think anyone saw that one coming. I won't tell you how we got him, but it was a lot of hard work and a lot of watching him and speaking to people, and we got it done. And I knew he'd be good for us. That's no disrespect to anyone that's in our team at the moment, but I just felt he'd give us something we haven't got. I still say there's goals in Ryan as well. We haven't seen him, you know, hit the goal trail yet. So I expect him to at least chip in with one or two goals for the end of the season. But he's been great. Lads love him. You know, he's a good character. He's an excellent professional. So, yeah, really chuffed to have him on board, particularly going into this sort of latter stage of the season, which he's done before. You know, he knows this. He knows the business end of the season with Mansfield.
Final few weeks of the league season now, but I know that you'll be taking it one game at a time, and I guess that's the message to the players as well.
Yeah, nothing changes for us. You know, I've said that, you know, with respect. I know everyone will be looking at everyone else's results and league tables. Nothing changes for us. We know what we've got to hit. We know the point tally we've got to hit, and we're on course for it. So, you know, we've just got to keep taking care of our business, whether it be Barnet, Boreham Wood, Gateshead, whoever it is. We've just got to make sure that we stick to what we're doing and to our game plan. And that's with, you know, huge respect to the teams we're playing. But it really is a case of, like, you know, let's get forward to this next game, worry about Monday after the Friday game. And we're prepped and ready. Everyone's fit, you know, so we've got everyone to choose from. So, you know, it's healthy now. Everyone wants to be out on the pitch, so it's really good for me.
An Easter weekend fixture, good Friday away to Barnet. Should be a good level of support travelling to the Hive as well. It's got the makings for a good game against a side who've dramatically improved on last season.
Oh, they're a terrific side, aren't they, Barnet? Let's be honest, let's give credit to Barnet. They're a really good side. They're way better than anyone gives them credit for, in my opinion. You know, they've got good players all over the park. You know, they're up there for a reason. So it'll be a tough game, and we're not going there, you know, underestimating Barnet in any way, shape or form. And credit to them and their management team and what they've done, you know. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. I mean, it'd be nice to be hopefully be a decent crowd, and the Barnet fans would be up for it, and our fans. So it's nice. It's a nice Easter game that we're looking forward to.
And I mentioned about the interview backdrop earlier. It's the Bromley FC Corporate Cup today. You've come out to have a watch. It's brilliant to see so many of the club and community trust's partners getting involved in today.
Brilliant. I mean, it's really good that the community has bought into this. And the community, when I say that, of the companies in the community and the people that support our football club. This is our little way of sort of having a bit of banter with them and enjoying their day, you know, because it's big for them to play on the pitch. And look, the turnout's been brilliant. So, I think New Era have got a few ringers in their team. That'd be the team to look out for, I think. But, really good day, and we enjoyed it last year. And you know, it's a good turnout, so fantastic for all the companies that support us.
Well, Andy, great to catch up. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
We had a very special guest yesterday at Hayes Lane, didn't we, Josh?
We did.
Coming to watch training. The one, the only, Mr. Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah.
Imagine a player of that magnitude coming to watch you train.
I know.
And just looking around and seeing one of the best players in Premier League history.
Oh, I know.
It's just unbelievable. And just seeing him pop up, it was brilliant.
Yeah, I know a couple of the young lads were training with the first team as well yesterday, so it must have been a bit, they must have been starstruck.
Well, I think we all were when Dennis came in for the first time. He's such a down-to-earth guy and he's really, really keen on watching Mitchell develop. And hopefully we'll see Mitchell's return soon. He has been sidelined with an unfortunate injury. So it'd be great to see him back in the squad soon. Brilliant to welcome Dennis Bergkamp to Hayes Lane once more, this time to watch training. It's always a pleasure to host him. Congratulations is in order again as we announce our Player of the Month winner, Josh.
Ryan Sturt.
Once more. That's 2 months in a row.
He's only been here 2 months.
And he's won it both times.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
No.
He's been outstanding, hasn't he?
He has. I was counting up the votes and he won it by miles, but it was him. Deji was up there as well, so...
Not surprised.
Yeah, shout out to Deji.
Shout out to the Loney contingent.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't think anyone will be shocked by that.
Well, congratulations is in order to Ryan. Well done. And let's hope he keeps up these performances as we head into the crunch period, if you like. Moving on then, Friday, as we travel to Barnet in the National League. And of course, the game is being shown in Brimfield Bar and Kitchen. So if you can't make the trip to the Hive, I know there's some travel disruption with the Jubilee line being closed. You can come on down to Brimfield's Bar and Kitchen and you can watch it there as well with fellow Bromley supporters. Win the comfort of Brimfield, which is just, yeah, fantastic, as we've spoken about earlier. Josh, big game for Bromley, this one.
Yeah, I think by next Monday night, we'll sort of know how the season's going to finish, in a way. I think if we beat Barnet and Boreham Wood, then I think we're on course to do really well this season. But I think if we lose, then...
Then it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, onto next season, maybe.
Well, Barnet currently fifth in the table on 67 points. Bromley 6 points behind, having played the same amount of games. Bromley with a better defence. Barnet, by numbers anyway. Barnet with a better, so-called better attack in terms of the goals scored.
Is this Matt's stats?
This is Matt's stats, although does it count as I'm reading it off? I'm reading it off a script, basically.
It's still stats, though, isn't it?
So Barnet with 72 goals this season, Bromley with 59 in the National League, but Barnet have conceded 63 to Bromley's 49. So it's going to be an interesting battle tomorrow, of course. Yeah. Callum Reynolds, Adam Marriott returning to their former clubs, and nothing beats the Easter weekend in terms of football. Easter Monday. Football clashes in the top half of the Vanarama National League and very... pivotal ones as well.
And Barnet's a local game as well, so it's fairly easy to get to. And
aside from the Jubilee line being closed,
true,
yes,
true,
yes. But it should be still a good amount of fans going, with it being a bank holiday, and hopefully many of them having some time off work to get behind the boys.
And also, apparently, the entrance closest to Cannons Park Station is closed as well, so people will have to go through. I think it's the car park. Not the main car park entrance, but I think that's sort of the main entrance anyway.
Have you come from a career in travel alerts?
I just pay attention, Matt.
You should definitely consider it. No, but hopefully we'll see a good amount of supporters there. And of course, those who can't make it can watch in Brimfield's Bar and Kitchen. There is no supporters coach for this one. Please remember that. And then we move on to football for a tenner.
Yeah.
Boreham Wood, Hayes Lane, Monday... Easter Monday, kick off 3 o'clock.
Be there.
Be there or be square. Football for a tenner.
Would you believe it?
I know. Very good. Adults, £10. Concessions and under 16s are £5. Get on down and support the team. It's going to be a really big afternoon for both teams, I think. And it kind of reminds me, going back to the Conference South a few years ago, when we played Boreham Wood in what was seen as the title decider at the time, which, of course, Bromley won, coming from 1-0 down, and, of course, sealed the title in the end. So should be an interesting game, and I'm sure if the fans can get down and back the boys, the atmosphere will be fantastic.
Well, I've got here that Notts County and Wrexham are the only two teams in the league with a better away form.
Than us?
No, than Boreham Wood.
Oh. I was getting excited then.
No.
I don't know why. We're not talking about Barnet, are we?
No, we're not. We're talking about Boreham Wood. But, yeah. So.
That doesn't surprise me. That they've actually, improved as the season has gone on, yeah. Bournemouth.
They've not scored that many goals, have they?
No, that's where they're lacking. Yeah, but then that has been the case generally, I think, across the seasons. They've been a team that's defended
take
really well.
They'll wins. And
they will, yes. That is incredible stat, though. It's Josh's stats now.
It is, yeah.
anyway, just before we finish for you this afternoon, Gateshead tickets and coach bookings are available now, and you can get your coach ticket on bromleyfc.co.uk, and ticket information for the fixture is there as well. The National League have now confirmed that the match away to Oldham Athletic on Saturday, the 29th of April, will now kick off at 5:30. Had a few people asking about that one. And the league have also confirmed that Wembley Stadium will host the final for the Vanarama National League promotion spots. So, again, big few weeks coming up. We're going to need your support. Get on down to Barnet on Friday. Get on down to Hayes Lane on Mondays. We host Bournemouth.
And also on Saturday, Cray are playing Corinthian Casuals.
If you want 3 out of 4 days of football,
yeah,
come on down to Hayes Lane on Saturday.
That's Marcus Sablia against Finley Lover.
It is, yeah. Wow.
Cruncher. And Bromley season ticket holders can gain entry for that for half price.
Wow. Brilliant. Well, you've certainly got your football fix covered if you're around here on the Easter weekend. Josh, I think that wraps it up for us this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, as always. It's been a pleasure. The man of many words.
Sorry. I was just focusing.
All right, I'm going to thank the listeners now. So thank you to all of you who tune in every week, regardless of how much rubbish we talk. Thank you so much for your kind comments and your continued support of the podcast. We are delighted to be back on a weekly basis. And we thank you for listening to us on a weekly basis. Hopefully see some of you at Barnet and even more of you at Hayes Lane as we take on Bournemouth on Monday. Remember, football for a tenner on that one. Get your tickets now. But for today, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Go on, Bromley.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.